put to allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning, Monmouth County Board of Supervisors. Tuesday, May 4th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I did not hear you. Did you say no?
No, there's no change.
Oh, okay, I thought you.
Or email me and then I'll just come try and continue.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Trip. Auditor. I've only been doing this since the beginning of time.
It's okay. We're just keeping busy and now we've got a bunch of training for the upcoming city and school elections. So several of us are learning how to conduct those because this will only be our second one since everything was combined. And just talking to Lisa about some lost and found, you know, forms on how the county's supposed to handle certain lost and found items, so. Because I think we discovered the Iowa code for that section was written about 150 years ago, and if you found lost logs floating down the river and stuff like that, you know, finders keepers on that kind of stuff and the value, so we just need to discuss some other, the steps in processing lost and found, so. Other than that, just like I said, keeping busy in the office, so.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Chrisley, I can never keep track. You might be sticking your head in either door sitting anywhere.
I know, right?
Chrisley Conservation.
Kind of like a whack. So we got a couple of things going on. We have our two transport buses that have been sitting idle for a couple of years. Neither one of them run. They are for sale on govdeals.com. Bidding ends tomorrow if anybody wants a couple of long-running buses. I gotta get on there. I think if you fix the fuel line, you can get those things running again. They both have less than 120,000 miles, so if anybody's interested in buying a bus, we have two of them for sale. And then, not this coming weekend, but next weekend would have been the Outdoor Youth Jamboree. That event, as it normally is not taking place this year, thanks to COVID. Instead, we're doing an open house event, so folks can just kind of come out, explore the park on their own time. We'll have a digital scavenger hunt, so kind of help you go around, find the different things in the park. We're going to have free canoe rentals, we'll have some fishing poles you can borrow, and we'll have some bait there if anybody wants to fish. And then the other big thing that we're doing at that same time is we're calling it the Fill the Lake Flotilla. So if you have a canoe or a Fill the Lake Flotilla. You ever seen the Floatzilla that they do up in the Quad Cities? It's everybody brings their canoes and kayaks to someplace up there. And so that's what we're doing here. Bring your canoe and kayak out and middle of the day, and we're going to all get a giant flotilla of canoes and kayaks out from the beach, and we're going to take a drone picture of it. And then we're going to use some of that footage to help with our marketing efforts for our watershed project, which is kind of coming together. We're planning on having a stakeholder meeting at the end of June, and so that'll kind of feed into that so that we can show. So backstory is, once this watershed plan is done, that will open us up for eligibility for federal funding for watershed improvements, kind of like what GEOD has done, only we're trying to do it before our lake is ruined. And so this will kind of help with that. So anybody wants to bring their canoe and kayak out and join us in a giant floating crowd of canoes and kayaks, that should be fun. So this is next Saturday on the 15th. The drone shot's going to take place at 1 o'clock.
June 15th?
May 15th.
Good day not to be there with my boat.
Yeah. So, if you're a bass fisherman or a crappie fisherman, fish in the morning.
I'll go somewhere else.
Be gone by lunchtime, because there's going to be a lot of kayakers out there. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun time. And then, like I said, the park will be open for folks to just kind of explore around. We're not going to have a bunch of staff or volunteers out there, you know, working one-on-one like we would for the Jamboree. We are planning on bringing the Jamboree back next year. It's just the volunteer committee put that together just wasn't quite ready to have that event quite yet. So we're still having some action out there. Campground has been full and is going to continue to be full. I think we've sold out every weekend, possibly through July. I'd have to double check that, but certainly through July 4th. And then I have a board meeting tomorrow night, and with my board, we're going to be discussing fees
that we charge at the park. The state, I don't know if you saw in the paper, the state is changing some of their campsite fees, and so we're gonna have that discussion as well. I guess that's about it.
Is there any canoes and kayaks out there? Maybe Kevin ought to put his water rescue unit in there.
There you go.
Sit off to the side, just in case.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have our patrol boat out, you know, we'll have some staff there to, you know, help out with things, but, yeah, should be pretty neat, you know, I mean, any given weekend in June or July, you know, it's not uncommon to have 100 kayaks out on that lake, so, you know, if we could do that out from the breach, bring them all together and take a picture of it, I think that'd really show, you know, the value people place on that lake and the water quality there. It should really tie into, you know, we need to fix this algae problem that we have in this lake.
I think you gotta have Jim and Tom in that picture, in a canoe, sitting in a chair.
There you go. We got some canoes to rent out.
We'll get that set up.
I think if we have a vote on that, there's two of us against you, so I vote that down.
I'm not appreciating your attitude this morning, Jimmy.
I've already jumped in there through the ice once for a burger.
That's true, he did.
Did you do that?
Yes.
He did.
Shane, we might do that if you ride your bike out there.
You're really starting to bring me down.
We did have a great time last week. That was a push open. I got to, never really gone the whole trail before, and thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys joining us. That was.
Did he let you drive?
Once, across through a gate or whatever it was, while somebody else held the gate open. Typically, my grandfather did when I was about 5 years old on a tractor. He'd just go up and down, then he'd jump off and open the gate. I'd pop along about 3/4 mile an hour, and then he'd get back on before I had a chance to hit anything, so sort of like that.
Some things never change.
They did let me drive, but they put me in the back, so I was a dust collector.
Got school bus driver experience. That got you to drive?
Well, I don't know. These guys was more rowdier than what the kids are on school bus. A lot more.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always, nothing new to report.
Thank you, Colin. Sheriff Glenn Denning.
Good morning. Things are going well at the Sheriff's Office. It is National Correctional Officers Week. I'm gonna steal a little bit of Doug's thunder here. But it's National Correctional Officers Week. Just a big thank you to the amazing job that all of our correctional officers and our administrators do out there. It's, to say the least, a difficult environment, and they do an amazing job for us out there. So big thanks to them. I'll skip the population at the jail for Doug, and our youth academy starts this week. Starting on Wednesday, we have 10 youth that are going to participate in that, so we're pretty excited about that. This is our first year doing it, and hopefully it all goes well. We have big plans for it. So
how old are they again?
16 to 18 years old. Des Moines County youth, and we're going to do it every Wednesday for like 2 to 3 hours a session, every other week, every other Wednesday. 2 to 3 hours. We had several applicants. We knocked it down to 10, and we wanted to have a good instructor to youth ratio so we could make sure they got a good experience, and it was really hands-on and interactive. So that's the plan. We're gonna kick it off on Wednesday. We've got two of our new deputies in training, and that's going well, and we're continuing to take applications for our part-time clerical position. Trish left us a couple weeks ago, so we do have an opening in as a part-time clerk, and we're taking deputies or applications for a couple new deputies for the future.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Well, I'd just like to thank maintenance. I came in this morning to the office, and the alarms were going off and everything, and so I let Rodney know, and boy, they got that. It was just a battery that needed to be replaced. It's all replaced, and everything's working right again. And it's just nice to have very competent maintenance staff to fix things when something goes wrong. So, otherwise, just keeping busy. Nothing new to report.
Thank you, Kim. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Project's moving along. Still working on the dirt on the bridge on Highway 99. Obviously, every time it rains, that slows down or comes to a halt for just a little bit. Working on the south end still. And still removing concrete and doing some grading and rocking out on Flint Bottom, so they have not, haven't poured any more concrete, but they have, for instance, the house at the bottom of the hill, they are now using the new concrete in the bridge area to cross over and go that way instead of out the other direction. So it's nice to see progress like that. It sounds like the concrete contractor's on a different job now, so it sounds like it'll be at least 2 or 3 weeks before we do any more concrete, but the grading contractor is working away, removing paving and stuff like that, so. It's going good.
Gonna be a while before the whole road's open, yeah?
Oh, it's, as far as the entire road, I mean, the segment they're working on will be open sometime here, I'm sure early summer. But then they'll move over and work on the other segment. Yeah. So as far as through traffic, Flint Bottom's basically closed for the summer. Yeah. I'm sure into fall. So it's, I've had a few people that frowned at that, but that's just the way it is right now. So.
Tell them Paul, Tom.
Yeah, I did.
Somebody left a bag of gravel in my mailbox.
Aye. Another happy customer.
They satisfied customers.
Yes,
when,
right.
When did you start with this, BC? Satisfied customers.
That's right. Yeah. Right. That's three of them. So, yeah, I'm glad you're. I have been the recipient of the same thing before. So it's a necessary evil. You've got 450 miles of gravel road, and that's just the way it is right now.
At least you guys just get gravel in your mailbox.
What I would do for a bag of gravel.
One man's heaven, another man's hell.
I know where we can drop that gravel off.
Yeah, it's too early to be laughing like this, boys.
Come on now. Thank you, Brian. Cheryl McVay, Budget Director.
I have a budget amendment today.
Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Reporter.
Good morning. Nothing new to report. Just have an item on the agenda.
I think the auditor has something for you before you leave after the meeting.
Bag of rock?
You wish.
I need some on my driveway.
That's going to somebody else's mailbox.
I got first dibs.
Thanks, Natalie. Rodney Gleister, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just got a lot of different things going on, but nothing new to report this time.
Thanks, Rodney.
Can you charge my battery, Rodney?
Sure.
Zach James, Land Use.
Good morning. Glad I came this morning. It's been an enjoyable meeting so far. Hopefully it'll continue here. Just a quick update. I think it was last week the resolution was approved for changing the zoning commission from 7 to 5. We had a long-term member whose term had expired technically at the end of last year, but he's been serving so far through this year, Ron Wunderlich. So with that change, though, he's going to be off the zoning commission. I just want to take a moment and thank him because he's been on the commission as long as I can tell from history, so at least 15 plus years. So I just want to thank Ron for his time volunteering on that commission and all the effort he put in there. So I just wanted to highlight that. We've been very busy this spring, a lot of subdivision. I want to thank Jared Lassiter a lot for the time and effort he's put in, because he's put in a lot of time to get through a lot of those subdivisions and just answering calls and working with people on the county. So he's done a great job with that. We've got a couple more under review right now, so we'll have a few more to see in the next couple weeks. Other than that, the only other thing I was going to mention is we have got a couple other phone calls here in the last week about solar farms possibilities out in the county. And just we've had a couple work sessions where we discussed that. So I just kind of wondering, maybe we should schedule something again to talk about that and wind farms. Maybe have somebody, I was just talking to Lisa briefly before the meeting about maybe having somebody from the attorney's office come in. Not sure what you guys think about that, but I know we've had some good discussions about it, and maybe get a little more firm direction on what to do. Not sure what you guys think about that, but just something I was thinking about after I got a couple more phone calls. So.
I ain't problem with that. Okay. Probably not for the next couple, 3 weeks.
That's fine. Just whenever you guys think it's appropriate, but just keep that in mind, and we'll kind of keep, I'll contact you guys and kind of see or talk to Terry and see when maybe the best week is to do that, so.
I join in your thanks to Mr. Wunderlich. He's been on that board 15 or more years. That's a lot of effort. Those meetings like that always come at the least convenient time. and to keep going to those meetings, so, you know, I would, I'm sure the board would echo your thanks to Mr. Wunderlich.
I think so, too. Appreciate it.
Doug Urban, Correctional Center.
Good morning. As the sheriff said, it is National Correctional Officers Week. it's a pretty thankless job. So we do have 24 correctional officers at our facility. So if anybody gets a chance to see them on the street or get out and thank them, they would greatly appreciate that. As far as in the jail now, we have 73 inmates with 9 out of county. 2 awaiting to go to Oakdale. I doubt if those will leave yet this week, but probably be early next week. Those are 2 different ones.
Two different.
Weeks prior.
Not the same 4?
No, not the same 4.
2 of them straightened up.
I do have a question for you. This doesn't really pertain to the jail, but you was in a golf tournament Saturday, and one of your partners won 180 bucks. Did he share it with you?
He did not.
Shame on you, Ken.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. 50-50. Sorry I didn't share it.
And he bought his 50-50 tickets right before I did.
Nice move.
Yeah.
Nice maneuvering.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Wait. Pushed him out of the way.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
On behalf of the Des Moines County Attorney, we would also like to recognize our correctional officers. I know between Chris and I as the criminal attorneys, we are on the phone with someone from the jail on a pretty regular basis. Doug runs a great, nice tight ship. His COs and command officers always are polite, respectful, professional, and just a joy to work with. So wanted to let you know, we do appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
And all of your staff. We are scheduled to do 4 jury trials this month. So hopefully we're gonna start to alleviate a little bit of the log jam. I know this month and next month are the 2 really bad months. Like I said last week, where the new timelines and the COVID timelines kind of start to run together. But we're hoping that court administration giving us some extra dates this month will help to alleviate that between this month and next month. And then maybe we can get back on a normal track, at least as normal as our jury trial schedule ever is. Other than that, we're just staying busy. We've given Trent, our new civil attorney, he had a full desk when he started. So it's been nice to hand off some of that. He's showing great promise. And now that everything, especially as far as the post-conviction relief stuff, because it had been postponed for almost all of 2020, now it's finally starting to come to a head too. So we'll be keeping him plenty busy, that and with Zach's zoning ordinances that we're reviewing. Hopefully he'll stay. I don't know that he realized that he was going to have quite as much work as was waiting for him. The minute I knew he was starting, I just transferred files from my desk over to his. So that's been great for me. So it gives me a little bit more time to devote to some other things, both criminal-wise and administratively. So otherwise, we're doing really, really well. We have gotten a couple of applications for our summer prosecuting intern, which we would hope to start shortly after the beginning of June. For those of you who don't know what that is, once someone has completed 3 semesters of law school and taken certain prerequisite classes, including criminal procedure and evidence, they take a short training course after the end of the semester, and they are granted a special license by the bar examiners, so that they can actually act as a quasi-lawyer. They can represent the state, they can do simple misdemeanor bench trials, file things, all under the supervision of a licensed attorney. And so we're hoping to have that person in place later this month, and then they'll be with us for about 10 weeks. And then they go back to school and take all that they've learned, and hopefully one of our goals not only is to provide them a great educational opportunity, but it's also to get someone, maybe help that the bug bites a little bit, that they actually enjoy prosecuting. I know our office is not the only one that has been really, really struggling to find prosecutors as the economy is booming back. When the economy fails, lawyers are the first ones that every corporation fires, because they're no longer doing acquisitions, they're no longer doing capital projects that require legal advice. So we're always the first ones to go, but when the economy starts to uptick, we're also the first ones to get hired. And unfortunately, as a public servant, we are generally not in it for the money, but those in the private sector are, and so they tend to pay quite a bit more. And so we're struggling with that. But sometimes, I know for me, when I interned, and I think almost everyone in my office, with the exception of Trent, was a prosecuting intern when they were in law school. When it hits you and you decide this is really what I like to do, we like to use that program to recruit. We think, not like we're a cult, but we like to get people into the fold and let them know just how wonderful life can be as a prosecutor. And then hopefully they'll stay. So that's our goal. Hopefully we'll have somebody in place in the next couple weeks.
How many semesters is law school in total?
It's 3 total years, so 6 semesters.
So 6 semesters, okay.
Generally, people do it after their second year. I know that's what I did, but I know the requirement per code is 3 semesters. But usually it's once they've completed their first couple of years.
Thanks, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Krista Pogumel, Public Health.
Good morning. It is also National Nurses Week this week, and so I want to thank the public health nurses. It's been a very tough year with COVID. They've gone above and beyond. They've given up evenings and weekends and done everything they to make sure that we're doing the case investigations, doing the contact tracing, and then obviously still doing some of that as well as the vaccine. So really appreciate all the public health nurses have done this past year. Currently, our rolling 7-day percentage is 5%. We have 25 cases in this past 7 days. We kind of are fluctuating. One day we'll have no cases, and next day we'll have 5 to 10 cases. So I do anticipate that we're going to, once this kind of runs its course, hopefully those numbers will start going down. Within families, COVID spreads pretty rapidly within households. And so obviously then if one person has it, we see multiple people in the family. Our county vaccinators have currently given a little over 31,000 vaccines, and they've completed 14,000. We are still doing our last boost clinic or second dose clinic this Friday at the auditorium. We welcome people, first time people who want a first time dose. They are also welcome for walk-in there as well. And then we are switching over to where we're doing Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at our public health walk-in clinics, and they can also still do that by appointments. We have plenty of vaccine, really encourage people to take advantage of that as things are really opening up. It's really important to get vaccinated. So again, they can call our office or they can just walk in from 10 to 3:30 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Thank you, Krista. Anybody online? Miss anybody? Well, if I could speak for the board, give our best to the correctional officers. We've all been to the jail.
Been to it, not in.
Well, I might have misphrased that, but we have an understanding.
Absolutely.
Their deal, so pass along our thanks. The same goes for the public health nurses. We become more familiar with them over the last year, but I know they've had a tough year, so. And thanks to you and Kevin for spending part of yesterday with me to address and solve a small problem, so thank you very much. Either of you gentlemen have anything?
No.
Correspondence. We have a letter from FEMA. Is 5 pages long. So I'm not going to read it. Essentially what it says is that there was a flood insurance rate map and flood insurance study report for the unincorporated areas of Des Moines County. We've completed the 90-day appeal period, so those maps with any changes they've made to them are now final. And if anybody has any questions about that, call Zach or Jared at Southeast Iowa Regional Planning for Land Use, and they will happily explain that to you.
I did end up getting a copy of that letter about an hour after you called me last week, Tom, so it showed up in the mail. Same day.
You never have too much correspondence from FEMA.
They sent 2 of them to us, so.
Proceed to discussion and vote. We need a public hearing on the fiscal 21 budget amendment.
Move to go on public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shannon Campbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
For a budget amendment for the county from the sheriff's office. They received a coronavirus emergency relief funding grant for $50,505. They're also asking for $6,000 for their canine program that will come out of Fund 9, and $3,000 for the reserve unit body armor, external vests, and gear, and that comes out of Fund 30. So Fund 9 and Fund 30 are standalone funds, and the money's already there.
Isn't Fund 9 contributions or donations, I think?
Both those funds are through fundraisers and donations, The canine program and the reserve program are both supported through that.
Thanks to the community.
Yes. And Veterans Affairs, due to the fact that we have now the general assistance person is now doing Veterans Affairs and general assistance. That's become a full-time job instead of part-time. So there's a $17,100 budget request, amendment request for Veterans Affairs to pick up the cost of the insurance. There's also some funeral expenses that are going to be over budget, I think, before the end of the fiscal year. So it's not all wages and benefits. Some of that is stuff they need actually to run Veterans Affairs. So Public Health is asking for $113,891. That's covered by a grant, and that's for the pandemic response. We were kind of like a fiscal agent for the CDBG grant this year for Young House. They got $31,320. So that's revenue coming in and the expense going out. So that's just a wash for the county. And that comes out of non-departmental. And Pioneer Cemetery received a donation for $1,500, and they're going to use that to buy equipment that they can normally not afford to buy. They didn't have this donation from the church, so that's $1,500.
Cheryl, can I interrupt you just for a minute?
Sure.
Just as people are watching this, if anybody has a comment they'd like to make during the public hearing, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. I apologize.
That's fine. And then we had Lisa Hazel, the former reporter, retired, and so we have the expense of the payout for sick leave, and then Natalie's vacation payout, and Renee has been promoted from part-time to full-time. And just adjustments of wipe and diapers for those, that's $22,850. Medical examiner is definitely going to go over budget if we don't do a budget amendment on that. Seen a huge increase in autopsies, funeral home charges, medical examiner fees. We think there are some relation to the COVID pandemic and all this going up. Terry and I went through some of the billing and noticed that probably about every fourth one said that there was a, that it was a COVID-related death. Maybe, you know, we didn't actually do a percentage calculation, but it's definitely due to COVID. And Secondary Roads is requesting $75,000, $25,000 for rock for the roads and $50,000 for equipment repairs and stuff that was unexpected. And the county attorney is going to receive a coronavirus emergency relief funding grant for $58,920. So that's got the revenue coming in and expense going out. So altogether on the county portion, there's $256,136 worth of revenue coming in and a request for $430,086 in expenses. And then if you notice on the resolution, it's for a higher amount, and that's due to the fact that we're the fiscal agent for emergency management at Southeast Iowa Link. And emergency management's board approved a budget amendment on February 11th for $23,800. And Southeast Iowa Link is going to discuss a proposed budget amendment on May 12th due to some grant money they got for coronavirus for $649,828. So that makes a total increase of to $1,103,714. The Southeast Iowa Link is contingent upon their board approving that on May 12th. So I won't put that in the computer until the board has met and approved that. And then we'll put those numbers in the computer system. So that's basically all we got going. And hopefully it's the second budget amendment of the year and hopefully the last.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Very quick.
Any comment on the fiscal 21 budget amendment? Did you receive any emails or
letters? No, I have not.
Regarding that? Nobody's called. Accept a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We need to approve the fiscal 21 budget amendment.
I move that we approve FY21 budget amendment.
I'm sorry.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. $976,748.42.
Move and approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel actions.
So, don't you have payroll? Reimbursement.
I was going to skip that. But if you insist, we'll do payroll claims reimbursement.
Somebody's got much money back.
And the amount of $206.30. I apologize.
I move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Personnel actions. One personnel action for the assessor, Zane Armstrong, property appraiser, a new hire, $50,000 a year, start date May 10th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have four personnel actions for conservation. We have Jacqueline Dunshee, conservation tech intern, a new hire, a seasonal hire, starting on May 3rd and ending before August 27th, $10 an hour. We have Tanner Gebhart, conservation tech intern, a seasonal new hire, starting on May 3rd, 2021 and ending before August 27th, rate of $12.50 an hour. We have Trenton Gebhart, a seasonal new hire, starting on May 3rd, ending before August 27th, new rate of $10 an hour. And Catherine Williams, an environmental education intern, seasonal new hire, starting on May 3rd and ending before August 27th, rate of $12 an hour.
Move to approve personnel actions and conservation.
All four. Sorry.
All four.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Personnel action for the recorder. We have Jennifer Patterson, a promotion from second deputy to first deputy. The previous rate was $43,394.38. The new rate is $46,194.82.
Move approved.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have the jail statistics for March 2021. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. You got to do all that paperwork too. You don't just keep them from causing trouble out there.
Yeah, actually, Doris would be doing that.
Oh, Doris. So it is your job to keep them out of trouble.
She does a great job.
She does. We have minutes for the regular meeting of April 27th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
No. I have none. Future agenda items?
I have none.
Committee reports.
Thanks to Chris and the Conservation Board took us on a nice tour up to Big Hollow, and our Honorable Bob Sauer went with us taking some pictures, opened up gates. He didn't know that's what he was going to do, but that's what he had to do. And I really enjoyed that, Chris. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I think everybody should take part of that trail, not all of it, just part of it. Even if they had to walk on it, there's a lot of nice places there. And then I had I told you last week, or juvenile detention. I had a meeting and we did, Bill Range is retiring June 15th. And so we did hire a replacement, which happens to be a supervisor down there, which is his wife, Teresa Range. She's going to take the helm as of June 15th for the new director of the juvenile detention. That's all I have.
Had a CEO meeting, but not really anything exciting to discuss, so, which is pretty standard.
Chris, what was the name of that place you told us probably the most secluded place in Des Moines County where it was so quiet?
Hickory Bend Conservation Area.
Hickory Bend?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, a neat spot.
Thanks again. Public input, if anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D at dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or email. Anybody in attendance have any comments?
Want to hear a good mushroom story?
Yeah. I do.
Okay, a couple of days ago, I was over at the gas station over here, and an older couple pulled up next to me, and the guy gets out and he goes, "How you doing?" I said, "Pretty good." He goes, "Been mushrooming?" "Yeah, I found about 3 pounds across the river yesterday." He goes, "Yeah, me and the wife found about 8,000 mushrooms the other day, about that big." I went, "Really, where?" And he goes, "Down by Augusta on the river there." And I went, "Really?" He goes, "You been up there?" I went, "No." He said, "Do you know how long it'd take you to pick 8,000 mushrooms if it's just the two of you? It'd take you 10 hours nonstop. If you do the math, you'll get the same figure." He goes, "Really?" And I went, "You got any with you?" And he goes, nope, I left them all at home. You have a good day."
Have a great day, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense, stage lefty.
But I like the way that they're like, you know, fish. Isn't it about that long?
That's like the big fish story.
You should have got his name and phone number, and you could have put an ad in the paper for a mushroom dog and put his phone number.
I should have written down his license plate. But he's from Illinois, why bother?
I guess I have a medical examiner story. It's an old one. It doesn't have anything to do with the budget amendment, but a few years ago, I was getting a hernia operation. So I'm there, you got the little gown that's open in the back. Anyway, they're moving me from the gurney onto the operating table. One of the nurses goes, "Hi, boss." She's got her mask on, I don't know him anyway. She said, "I'm a medical examiner." Keep this between. They did a great job, though.
So the mole on the left cheek never got out this far.
Apparently not.
Hey, boss. Those are words you don't want to hear when you're in a situation like that.
Okay. There's no further comment. Then we're adjourned.
All right.
We're adjourned.